Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you a special episode of Mythic Gaming hosted by our very own Astrid. And today her guest is King James of the Night Realms LARP. Greetings and welcome, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules.
Isn't it great? And let's hope the weather holds out. It just started to rain here, but Hercules, it's moving towards you a little later. If I happen to have a power outage, I know I can count on you to continue with James.
Thank you. I'm honored, but hopefully it won't come to that.
Right, right. And our guest this evening, as you said, is James, also known as King James of the Knights Realm and Sparta Renaissance Festival in Sparta. I actually had the pleasure of having James as a guest in 2019 prior to the festival. And James, before we get into the actual festival, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Night Realms, because not too many people understand what LARPing is and what you developed, because it's amazing. You basically started out as a, if I'm correct, as a fantasy game, and called Night Realms quite a few years ago, and then once you obtained the Camp Sacagawea, you developed it into an action event. Talk a little bit about this.
Sure. Hey, first of all, it's great to be back again. So when it comes to Night Realms, I started that about 25 years ago. And I used to rent a campground in Pennsylvania called the Hickory Run State Park. And it's basically an escapism, like, game activity. So I have a team of writers that write a fantasy story for the weekend, and approximately 100 to 200 people will come and get into costume and basically play out in this story world for about 3 days, from a Friday night until, like, a Sunday afternoon. And for that whole duration, they're just kind of engaging in this theatrical escapism kind of activity where they're just kind of playing pretend, playing a game, just kind of getting away from reality, kind of living a few days in a fantasy novel or a fantasy movie, so to speak. And that's basically the way it works. If they come, they act for those 3 days, they stay in character for those 3 days, they're part of the story, or they're just part of the background, whatever they want to get involved with. And it's just a really fun kind of immersive activity. And we've been doing that 1 month, one weekend every month, every year for the last 25 years, minus the last year and change from COVID.
Wow. Now, how did COVID change this? Were you still able to keep in contact with one another and run it in some kind of format?
Well, you know, it was obviously very challenging, and had you told me a year and a half ago I would have had to shut everything down, I probably would have told you to go do something with yourself or something. Like, I wouldn't have believed that it would have been possible. But lo and behold, everybody got really just shut down officially, and nobody was allowed to do anything. For the most part, everybody was locked down, and so we had to cease all of our games. It was rough because we had just gone 23 plus years without ever missing a single weekend, a month, and suddenly we couldn't do it. And for me, for a lot of people, this was their kind of a escapism, fun activity. For some people, it's kind of more than that. It kind of helps them mentally, give them a break from, the everyday, hassles that they have sometimes. But for me, it was actually my business. For me, it was how I generated a very large amount of my income. And so for that to just shut down was very difficult. And what we did is we did optional sort of online gaming. And we ended up doing it for free. We didn't charge any money for it. And we just said, hey, just to keep all of you engaged, once a month, we'll run a bunch of games on the computer, on like a voice chat kind of thing. And, it was just a way to keep the community connected. And that didn't financially help out at all, but it did help keep the community engaged with one another in that time. What I did financially is I created a Patreon system, which if any of you are familiar with Patreon, it's kind of a subscription service. And so once a month, a lot of the members would sign up for the Patreon, and once a month they would actually pay the regular amount they would have been paying for the game, and they get kind of perks and points for their characters as a result. And so many of our members did it that it was able to help sustain us quite a bit for that year to a year and a half that we were kind of shut down.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I'm sure the people really, you know, the members appreciated it, because one byproduct of this pandemic was extreme depression. People found that their lives changed so much, and all of a sudden all the things that sustained them no longer existed. So it's wonderful that you were able to keep it going in some type of format, you know, for the members and also financially. That's great.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned kind of depression and things like that, and it's kind of true. I would have never thought that this sort of activity was going to be sort of a healthcare-related thing in any way, but so many people over the last 23 years kind of have told me that it helped them keep their sanity. It kind of, in a way, it's like very inexpensive therapy for them to some degree. So, you know, you get different people who have different kind of connections to the activity, but there certainly is a very minor, I wouldn't say minor, for some there's a healthcare kind of connection, in which case it's kind of like a mental sanity check. It kind of lets them escape for a few days. And yeah, it was rough on those people, but it was also, but everything was, I mean, a lot of people who kind of suffered from the depression of being isolated, you know, with or without the game that they could play, I'm sure it was very rough just being stuck in their homes for so long.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. Being in the same environment, you know, it's like being a caged animal in the zoo.
Yeah.
I mean, really, not being able to be in a different environment, and particularly something that you offered to the public and to your members.
Yeah.
And not only that, I'm sure there are many friendships that were formed because of this format that you had there.
Yeah, you know, yes, lots of friendships have been formed, various degrees of friendship. Some people have met their significant others and gotten married through our organization. And so, but everybody did a pretty good job of continuing to keep in touch with one another. It was just pretty hard for probably everybody during that hard, like, 5 to 6 month lockdown where everybody was, like, really not going anywhere.
Particularly in the winter, right? Strictly indoors.
Yep.
You're right. So that I could definitely see that sustaining people. And speaking how the pandemic affected, you know, the LARPing and the fantasy gaming, how about the camp itself? Like, what did you do besides that? Did you institute anything different to generate income so you can keep the camp going?
Yeah, well, I tell you, that was a very scary kind of endeavor, because I had taken out an extremely large mortgage to purchase the camp. And, you know, that monthly bill is a very large monthly bill. And suddenly not wondering whether or not you're going to be able to pay that monthly bill to the bank, suddenly it's a very daunting task. And with nobody coming in, no other games, we were renting primarily to these types of games. Like, I would run my own called Night Realms, but then other games would rent the property from me and run their games as well. And obviously everybody was shut down. Nobody was coming out and doing anything. And so the camp was not generating any income. And that was not going to be a very sustainable model at all. And so we had to think about what we could do to adapt to the situation and adapt very quickly. So after doing a little bit of research, kind of the thought came to lean very hard into the wedding scene. For one thing, weddings pay a lot of money. It's just there's a large amount of finances in the realm of weddings. Secondarily, people book weddings years and years and years in advance. And tertiarily, also, they usually put a large down payment down as well. So we leaned really hard into the wedding scene, and we started fixing everything up very specifically for weddings. buying resources that wedding couples would need. We obviously leaned into our fantasy look because our camp, Camp Sacagawea, has a very medieval Renaissance fantasy look about it. So we definitely leaned hard into that, and a lot of the wedding couples that would show interest were kind of, they were closet gamers or open gamers. You know, maybe they were into like Game of Thrones or some kind of other kind of relatable subject matter. But a good number of them that came through, they walked in and they looked at all the decor and the way that the camp is set up, and they were just like, you could tell right away they were going to book their wedding here. So it really ended up taking off tremendously. I was showing the property constantly to people. People were booking constantly. Even today, I have a backlog in my computer of like 20 or 30 wedding requests that I got in. I got maybe in the last 2 to 3 weeks, and I just have no time to look at them because I'm preparing for the Sparta New Jersey Renaissance Festival. But it generates so much more income than our previous endeavor that it's really strange to think about it. You know, COVID was a very sad, serious thing that caused a lot of people to suffer. And just very oddly, we ended up kind of flipping that around, and instead of having lasting negative effects from it, we actually got the exact opposite as a result. And now we're booking weddings constantly, and those weddings are paying quadruple the amount that our previous renters were paying.
Tell me how you lay the weddings out. How is it different? Besides the theme factor, like what are you offering for the weddings, just so our listeners understand?
Sure. So we have Camp Sacagawea is 200 acres. We have a big private lake called White Lake. And there's lots of different cabins and trails and paths and beautiful clearings to get married in, beautiful spots to take photographs in. We have a big reception hall that's done in a very Renaissance kind of medieval theme. We have a gigantic wedding tent right outside that hall as well, banquet tables, chairs. One of our big business models is to purchase things that a couple would normally rent. So a couple would normally rent a dance floor for maybe $1,000. They would rent the giant wedding tent for maybe $2,000. They would rent the tables and chairs for maybe $1,000, $1,500. So right when they book our venue to begin with, we're going to save them $4,000 to $6,000 just on things that we have purchased so that they don't have to rent. So on top of that, though, what we do is we offer almost exclusively weekend packages. So you get the campground from Friday. You get it from Friday until Sunday. So all day Friday, all day Saturday, most of the day on Sunday. And usually what happens is a wedding couple will choose to kind of embrace all of that extra time on the property and let their best friends and family enjoy the campground before and or after the wedding. Or they might also use a lot of that time to casually get everything set so they don't feel stressed or rushed. There's a lot of wedding venues out there that when you rent them, you're renting them for 12 to 6 hours. And you're in and you're out, and there's a wedding before you and there's a wedding after you. And I kind of have referred to it as being in a wedding sandwich. So like you're at Camp Sacagawea, you're not in a wedding sandwich. That weekend is just you. It's just about you. It's your wedding is the only wedding from Friday all the way until Sunday. So you basically get like a big package deal out of it. On top of that, also, one final kind of thing to mention about that is the property could sleep about 100 to 180 people, depending on, you know, if they're using cabins or tents. And so if any of the guests are kind of okay with campground accommodations, they could save a ton of money by not renting hotel rooms or buses to take them to the hotels and stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely a very unique venue, and most of the couples that end up booking with us just kind of express that they haven't come across a venue quite like ours before.
Oh, I think that's fantastic that you offer the entire weekend, because so often many family members or friends can't come because they have a window of like five, 6 hours, and then it's the commuting there, commuting back, and really not spending time. I mean, the wedding venues, the typical ones, really do not offer time to actually enjoy your guests. So this is fantastic. It really is. That was a great idea. And I'm sure that, you know, it's going to even extend beyond weddings, because there are other events that take place where the same thing happens. People don't have the time to do the traveling, or and just for a matter of 5-6 hours, like, what's the point? So that was a great concept, I must say. And I also know that something else started at the camp, because friends of mine were involved with something called the Lunar Fair. And originally that started out at a VFW hall, which could not hold or accommodate the amount of people. And the city had to step in because the people were complaining, you know, well, the neighbors were complaining about the parking situation. Tell me how that came to find its home at your camp.
Okay, so, yeah, that's a fairly interesting story. Out of the blue, I would constantly just keep hearing people refer to the Lunar Fair. And, you know, one time somebody mentioned it and I didn't think anything of it. And then maybe the next day somebody else mentioned it. And then the next day somebody else, totally unrelated, mentioned it. And after just like a week to 2 weeks of this, every day a totally different friend of mine just mentioned the word Lunar Fair. Like, oh, what about this Lunar Fair thing or whatever? And then I had a wedding couple come in and sign the paperwork to book a wedding. And as they're signing the paperwork, they're like, yeah, we just got back from Lunar Fair last night. And I'm like, okay, I've heard the word Lunar Fair out of people's mouths every day for the last like 2 weeks. What is this thing about? Then I ended up talking to a friend of mine on the phone the very next day, and he mentioned Lunar Fair. So I Googled it, I looked at their website, I called up my assistant Steve, and I said, Steve, get these Lunar Fair people over to our campground tomorrow or as soon as we can so that we could see if they want to start booking their events here. So Steve started work, kind of communicating with them, and I guess while that was happening, apparently that's when they got shut down in Pompton Lakes. And I don't, once again, I don't think there was anything nefarious aside from the fact that the venue wasn't going to be able to support them.
They
blew up so fast. You know, I talked to Tiffany and Kelly, some of the owners of the Lunar Fair, several times, and they kind of expressed that they thought they got together and they said, hey, let's just start a fun night market and see if anybody shows up. And they did not expect it to just explode the way that it did. And almost overnight, by their proposed third event, they were so big they couldn't possibly hold it at the venue. That venue kind of got cold feet because they were worried they weren't going to be able to you know, house them all with the parking. The town down there had a, you know, was worried about the same thing. And ultimately they canceled on them like 2 days right before their third event. It was the very, and it was the very next day that they came to Camp Sacagawea, and we walked all around the camp here with them, and we talked to them about their experiences and what their needs were. And, you know, they're very fun, very laid back, you know, very down to earth people, just like we are over here as well. And so we kind of meshed very quickly. And so they ended up having their event here, and their first event here was approximately 6 weeks ago, I guess, because I think they do it every 2 weeks. And I was not prepared for just how big that this thing had gotten. I was not expecting it. I was expecting something big. I run big events. I run the Sparta New Jersey Renaissance Festival. And we do that once a year, and I consider it a pretty big event. But 6 weeks ago when I was watching the Lunar Fair patrons come into the site, I was not prepared for what I saw. It was stunning. They filled up our parking lots in like a matter. They came early. They all came an hour before the gates were open. they filled up our parking lots. They filled up every other conceivable parking lot on White Lake Road. They parked wherever they possibly could. They parked the shop right down the road and walked like half a mile to a mile to get here. And I'm standing there at the entrance way, and I'm just seeing hordes and hordes of people just walking down the street coming towards the camp, and they're just piling in the camp, and there's no end in sight to the number of people just pouring in. And I was absolutely floored by how they had gotten such a huge following in such a short amount of time, and I had never seen that many people here over at Camp Sac.
How many people do you think came to that very first one?
You know, I can't really say because I don't have their numbers. You know, I'm not a part of their business in that capacity.
Right.
So I can't
right.
really say. If I had to guess, if I literally just guessed off of the top of my head, to me it felt like 3,000 to maybe 4,000 people. I could be wrong. I could be off one way or the other.
Well, I'll be quite honest. I think you're right, because the first one they had was 1,000, and the second one had a promise of 2,000 to 3,000 for a small venue, which is why there's no way, by the capacity laws, they could not do it. So with your location being so large, I mean, 200 acres, and it's outside, which makes it really safe. So I could see how you can get those numbers. And you just had one this Monday.
Yeah. So they've done three here. Since then, they've been here every 2 weeks approximately. And because it's on the new moon and the full moon. And the second one that they ran, it was I think it was just as big. Yeah, you know, maybe it felt the slightest bit smaller, but not by much. And then the one that just happened felt, I think, just about every bit as big as the first one was. So it's pretty amazing. Like, they are doing this every 2 months. Every 2 weeks. And they're, at the moment, really maintaining such a high number of volume of people.
Sure, and the word is getting out, because I know even my own neighbors, they contacted me and asked me if I was aware of it. And also, James, there is nothing in that realm anywhere like the Luna Fair that basically opens itself up to people that are into the ancient ways and rituals that all of our ancestors and kind of vendors and different kind of events, very, very different. So at this point, I can't think of anything else that's like this.
It's definitely a very fun event. For one thing, it's at night, which is not very normal. Most events are during the day. And so it's a nighttime event. They have a lot of vendors with all their lit up booths and lights and everything. You know, it's got a pretty magical look and feel to it.
And I could assume they'll be coming back.
Oh, yeah. So at the moment, our plan is to continue to host them every 2 weeks. I have no idea whether or not they're going to want to run in the wintertime. There might be challenges that may make them not want to do that. I don't know. I guess we're just going to – I guess time will tell, you know, how their schedule is going to play out.
Right. Well, you do have Maybon coming up, which is the autumn equinox, which is a big thing. And, of course, the really big one in December, of course, is the winter solstice. That is, like, absolutely magnificent. So I could see that happening there, which would be really amazing. Now, let's get to the festival, your festival. This started in 2017. That was your first year.
Correct, yeah.
Right,
and the theme was the royal wedding. Yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit and how it's grown each year.
Yeah, so the we were very steadily growing. We did really, really well for our first year. In fact, we did so well for our first year that we won Renaissance Festival Magazine New Festival of the Year Award. And, you know, just in general, we were in the, there was a lot of newspaper articles about it. And just overall, it was a, our first fair was a great success. It was only one weekend. And we did, in fact, luck out, and we got beautiful weather that weekend and had a really good attendance. And just everything went really well. And the very next year, we opened up to two weekends, and we did very well. As, you know, the second year, we also did very well the third year. I think every year that we ran, we just about doubled. We came close to, like, doubling our attendance from the year before. And so we were on a really good trajectory, and then COVID hit and we had to shut down, well, we had to cancel last year's event.
Right, right. Now, I remember year two when I went, because you had the two weekends, you had, yeah. You keep adding things. There was new entertainment.
Yeah.
There was a jousting field. You had something called, I think I'm right, the Rogues Guild, which was an interactive
yeah.
experience. And
yep.
you had so many different kind of activities. Now,
yep.
year three, I remember really well, because right before that, I remember you were a guest on our show. It was the year of the Hidden Castle, and you added
yep.
an escape room as part of the Rogues
yep.
Guild. Talk a little bit about the Hidden Castle. Oh, that is really interesting.
Yeah, so that was, we basically, the camp has a 140 by 140-foot basketball court. And we never really, you know, because we're gamers, you know, most gamers don't really have much of a need for a basketball court. And so we just kind of let our basketball court kind of deteriorate, and it's just been kind of overgrown. Like, it looks like, you know, something out of an apocalyptic setting, I suppose. And we just really did nothing with it. And suddenly, a couple of years ago, that year that we had that the last interview with you, we had decided to turn one side of the basketball court into a castle facade. So we, you know, we designed something. We built like a wood structure up and around. My property manager did all the woodworking. Our local smith for the Renaissance Festival did all of the hinge working on the big medieval doors. And I did all the stonework on the stone portions of the walls. And it just came out a very beautiful set piece that's basically the illusion of a castle wall, you know. We have plans to expand it. We just kind of haven't done it recently. The whole last year of COVID kind of threw everything into a tailspin. For better and for worse, we ended up not focusing on some of the things that we were planning to focus on. So much of my time has been occupied by weddings now. Weddings are, they're really, really lucrative things to work on, but they absorb a tremendous amount of time as well. That's a long way of explaining. I never really had the time to continue working on the castle like we wanted to. But we do plan on continuing with the castle probably this year and or next year.
That's great, because it is absolutely stunning, and it's a great
yeah.
backdrop, because you have the thrones there to have photographs. It really
yeah.
is. It's stunning.
And even for weddings, a lot of the wedding couples look at the castle wall and go, oh, wow, this would be, you know, great for photographs, and a lot of them take photographs in front of the castle doors.
Exactly. Now, I remember the 2019 festival. You had all these different locations, things like
yep.
the Queen's Pavilion, the Fairy
yep.
Pulpit, the Crow's Nest,
yep.
the Airy, the Tavern. And what I liked is, like, in the schedule, it's so simple. You know, your handouts mm-hmm. as you enter, you have the time factor going from 11:15 to 6. And, by the way, it is open from 10 to 6. Am I correct?
Correct, yes.
Good. And then you have all these different events. So you have a choice. It's not just one thing that you get to go to. I mean, you had things like opera and Celtic songs, which I have to say was so top drawer. It was amazing. It just wasn't, it was not mediocre at all. It was magnificent. And then you had juggling, you had escape artists, you had jousting, Barty Party, Pieces of Eight, Drunk and Disorderly, mask working. I mean, it was amazing. The Bullwhip Show. And
yep.
then you repeated them. And so if you missed one, you were able to catch it later. I have to say, the three women that you had there doing the comedic Shakespeare was beyond belief because it was interactive with the audience.
Yes, those are the Vixens and Guard, and they're a really popular Ren Faire show. They do a lot of different Ren Faires, and we're very happy to have them. And, yeah, they're fantastic.
So there were a lot of different things.
Yeah, and what you were basically saying is, yeah, we have like five or six different – we actually created a new stage this year because we have so much entertainment that we weren't able to kind of fit them on all of the current stages. But we basically have five or six stages going on. And at any given point in time, something is happening on one of those stages. And like you said, if you miss the Magic Bubble Show one, you know, at some point because you were watching Jousting, you can then later go and watch the Magic Bubble Show another time, like an hour or two later at a different stage. So, yeah, there's
that was great.
Yeah, there's lots of activities. There's archery. There's axe throwing. There's a lot of fun.
Talk about the activities, because some people don't realize that you have activities for adults and children as well.
Yes, yes. So, you know, there's some of your more standard types of activities, such as archery and axe throwing. We try to take the things that exist elsewhere and spruce them up a tiny bit, just make them a little bit more interesting. So our archery range isn't just a straight range with like kind of boring targets. It's really kind of nestled into the wood, so it gives you that Robin Hood kind of feel when you go to shoot at the archery range. And then we've got lots of different fun targets. So there's a target of like a guardsman with a helmet or something, like a big stuffed scarecrow kind of a person. And then there's one with a tiny, tiny little bell hanging in a loop, and you got to try to hit the bell to ring the bell. There's just lots of different, more interesting a spin on the things that you would see elsewhere. Any opportunity we have to make things more interesting and more unique, we try to take that opportunity. But yeah, archery and axe throwing are big ones for both adults and, you know, I'm surprised at the number of young kids that also do those as well. But we also have a lot of fun kids activities. We have something called magical fishing that was a huge hit last year. And it's basically these fishing poles, you know, made of wood with a string and a magnet at the end of it. And so the kids are kind of using this magnet fishing activity to catch these fish that we've put in the lake that have like magnet, like metal bolts attached to them and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's kind of a weirdly simple concept of magnetic fishing. And I was skeptical about whether or not it was going to be big or not, but it was actually an absolute hit. And so many parents walked up to me in the middle of the Ren Faire and they said, oh my God, that magical fishing thing, my kids were enjoying it all day. It was such a great thing. Thanks for adding that. So, you know, there's that. And, you know, a bunch of other activities. We created a couple of free things this year that are new. And that's another one of our dynamics is we're trying to make activities that you don't have to pay extra for. Certainly there are activities that you pay extra for. You pay to do the archery, you pay to do the axe throwing. But we're trying to add as much stuff as we can that you don't have to pay for. And so we're adding, we created this shuffleboard type game that we call Mug Slide. And it's got a very piratey theme and it's at our pirate bar. And one person gets on the other side and you have this mug and you just slide the mug across the board and it's you know, you try to score points. And you know, whenever the mug lands on like a +2 or a +1 or a -1, and it's actually mindlessly very fun. And it's just going to be there. It's just going to be there for people to play as they feel like playing it after they might go to the bar and grab a few beers and decide to just play with their friends.
There you go. Talk about the food. You have choices because very often you go to some of these events and they have very limited choices. And I have to say, I have had the opportunity to eat at the at your Sparta Renaissance Fair, and there were choices, and they were healthy drinks and amazing things that were affordable. Talk a little bit about that, the different things that you have available to eat and drink.
There's a pretty wide variety of kind of stuff. You have your child-friendly palate foods that are like, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers and cotton candy, popcorn, stuff like that. And then you have your more sophisticated palate items that are from Michelle's Bistro. And Michelle's Bistro is a food truck that does all sorts of fun kind of festival-type foods. And they have these risotto balls that are really delicious. They have this kind of, I think, jasmine shrimp rice type of thing that's very popular. And just they just have a very extensively interesting menu. We also have, like, your big traditional turkey legs that every renter should have, which are always great. And the same vendor that does those big, giant turkey legs also does this big cubed bacon on a stick. And it's not like a sliced bacon. It's like a slab of pork on a stick. And it is absolutely delicious. It's probably even better than the turkey leg, even though the novelty of the turkey leg is so popular. But the bacon on a stick is out of this world.
Wow. So something new to look forward to. That's great. And also that fresh lemonade stand, it was outrageous. It is so good. It is reasonable, and it's freshly squeezed right in front of you. It actually quenches your thirst.
it's a maple. It's actually their name is R. Woods Maple Farm, I think. And they're basically a maple business. And what they do is they put a little bit of maple syrup into this lemonade that they make. And, you know, it was really weird. The very first year they told me they were going to make maple lemonade, I thought to myself, I'm not so sure about that. And I went ahead and tried it, and everybody loves it. It's the most popular lemonade. You know, we also have regular lemonade at a lot of the different stands, but their maple lemonade is a very popular item, and for good reason.
Oh, most definitely, because you're sweetening it with something natural, not like a whole load of sugar.
It really has
a different flavor. Really good.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to seeing them again. Now, COVID does present some problems, but I did notice on your website that you're definitely, you know, going to deal with that. And could you let us know, you know, the different things that are set in place, the safety procedures that you're doing?
Sure. You know, everybody has a very wide range of comfortability right now. You have some people who are very comfortable with things, and you have some people who are not comfortable with things as well, and all sorts of, you know, people in between. And so what we're basically doing is we like to believe that everybody got vaccinated. I know a lot of us did. I feel like most people have. And so we're basically following most of the same types of procedures that your grocery stores might be doing, other large Renaissance festivals might be doing, which is basically saying, look, if you're you know, if you're not vaccinated, we strongly encourage you to wear a mask. And we also strongly encourage everyone to, in general, keep their distance, be respectful of one another, be respectful of one another's comfortability, you know, kind of levels. If somebody looks like they are uncomfortable, definitely give them, a good amount of space. We have a big, beautiful outdoor venue. There's so much space that you don't need to be standing on top of one another. A lot of these other big, larger commercialized rent fairs, it's hard to – they're so jam-packed that you're going to be shoulder-to-shoulder with them almost no matter what. But we don't have that problem here. We have so much space, you're not going to be walking shoulder to shoulder with people. You can easily social distance from one another. We'll have some masks at the door if anybody has forgotten their masks and wants to use a mask. We'll have those to give away for free. We'll have hand sanitizing stations sporadically throughout the camp. Anything that involves equipment like archery or, you know, certain gaming things, we'll have sort of sanitation wipes and things there to periodically clean everything in between people using stuff. So, you know, we're going to take some very reasonable measures, but we're also not going to, I don't know, we're not going to overdo it.
It's a nice balance.
Yeah, people have made responsible adult choices. Almost a lot of people are adults, and they can choose for themselves, you know, what they want to do. And we feel like everybody has chosen what they wanted to do already. And so, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We're just going to do our best to be responsible around that situation.
That sounds great. That's great, particularly the sanitation stations. That gives people an option, because usually most places have them right at the entrance, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So it's,
oh, no.
It's
well,
good
yeah,
you're
we'll
doing
have them
that.
There. We'll have them periodically around, so you could, you know, use them like in every field and things like that. So you know, definitely the ability to play it safe is going to be apparent and available for anybody who wants to, you know, periodically wash their hands, or, you know, social distancing will not be hard for people who want to social distance.
Sure, because most of it's outdoors. And I do have to emphasize the fact that, you know, you do have quite a few vendors, but spread out. So you never feel cramped.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really spread out, and it makes it easy.
Yes, we do spread the vendors out. They're not on top of each other. They are, you know, they say, you know, a lot of these vendors might have a 10x10 booth, but they really get like a 25x25 space, maybe more than that. We really do space out the vendors tremendously.
Most definitely, because if you go to some of the very commercial ones, as you're saying it, they have actual buildings, and they're small that these people have to rent, and they have to do it for the whole period of the time. They're very congested. Once they get the products in, you can't even move within those little shops.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Whereas I was very pleasantly surprised that you had a lot of vendors, and not just one location. You had them like about three different major locations, because it is 200 acres, so you have it spread out.
Yeah.
And so their tents are large, but then there's open areas.
Yeah.
So you can be outside the tent and look. There's no real congestion. So that's really great. That really is good.
Yes.
Are there any events that you had to kind of like go to the wayside because of COVID that you can't do?
Yeah, actually, you know, for the year that COVID happened in 2020, I had taken the Halloween date, because Halloween had fallen on a weekend on 2020, and I had put that date aside for me, and I was going to organize and run the first Sparta Haunted Village, and we were going to turn the camp into a big haunted village kind of thing, where you would go from village to village. I was toying around with the idea of having like a kid friendly side and a more scarier adult side, and and then have them all converge at the inn, where there might be like apple cider and donuts and, just kind of fall festival kind of things. But it just never happened, you know, it obviously never happened because of COVID. And then once I started renting weddings, I realized a lot of couples really want to rent a wedding on Halloween as well. So I've definitely booked more than a couple of Halloween weddings, a couple of Friday the 13th weddings. And so,
how interesting.
Yeah.
Hercules would love that. His anniversary is Halloween.
Oh, nice. Very cool. So sadly, I don't think that I'm going to end up pursuing the Sparta Haunted Village idea anytime soon, maybe in the far future.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's something to consider. Could be another thing that you, another venture you could do. I'm sure you can pick other things up as you go along. The innovative out-of-box thinker, which is afforded the Sparta Renaissance Festival to be the way it is, you know, different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're thinking about other festival style events now. It's kind of on our radar. We've been thinking about doing an Irish festival or a Celtic festival. We've been thinking about maybe like a Euro festival where every area is a different nationality, kind of thing. Like maybe one area might be like Norwegian kind of things. And and so that's not – we've been toying around the idea of doing some kind of different festivals, maybe even like an American festival or something. Just, broader themes that might appeal to certain crowds, maybe even a music festival of some kind. It's just right now in our heads, the festival bug is kind of crawling around.
Sure. Well, I'm sure people will, from what I've heard, people are so excited to have this festival back because it is so unique, James. Now, can you tell us a little bit about getting tickets? I know I did see something online about discounted tickets. You can get them online until this Friday. Am I correct?
Correct, yes. There's an online store. If you go to our website, it's spartanjrenfair.com. There is a store there, and you can purchase tickets. They're about, I think they're around $3 cheaper each ticket if you buy them online.
Right.
But you could also buy them at the gate if you wish as well.
Well, I think that's great because you're holding it rain or shine, and if people have plans and they prefer to go, not raining, then they're not stuck with a ticket. You can buy them at the entrance. And I have to say, it goes very quickly because that's what I usually do. I end up buying. And the line moves very quickly.
Yes. The tickets that you buy online are good for any day. So let's say you buy a ticket online intending to go the first day, but you end up not going. You could use that ticket the last day instead or any day in between.
Oh, wow.
So like
flexible of you.
When you buy the online tickets, we basically put the tickets in an envelope with your name on it at our will call booth. And whatever day that you arrive, you can access those tickets.
That's great. So there's a lot of flexibility with that because usually it's not the case, and then you lose out or you're forced to go on a day you really don't want to go, or if someone is ill and can't go, it ends up being, a mishap. There's no way out of it. That's good. Any other information you can give us? You want to just go over the information, the weekends, the time?
Yeah, it's, the location is Camp Secondary in Sparta, New Jersey, and the times are, or the dates rather, are the 11th and 12th and the 18th and 19th, so it's this coming weekend and the weekend after that, and the the actual times are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and you can buy your tickets online, you can buy your tickets at the gates. Parking is free. We don't charge for any kind of like parking or anything like that. And plenty of kids activities as well. It's a great time. It's definitely a fun thing. We only do it once a year and for these two weekends of the year. So if anybody's thinking about checking it out, these next two weekends are the time to do it.
Definitely. And it is a really beautiful location, I have to say, because it's a natural setting. It's not a man-made setting. It's natural, and I'm sure people can go off and there's areas where you can eat, and you can just walk around. And I know even with the activities, the performers are so friendly. At one point, my dear friend Mo and I, who hobble along with our knees, these great knights decided to let us to sit at their table. And everybody's extremely accommodating. So, if you have an issue, you can work it out. There's, a lot of flexibility, and everybody's just eager to please. Anything else you want to add? Because we still have a little bit of time.
Well, kind of working off of what you were just saying is, yes, everybody's really accommodating. Everybody's very friendly and nice. It's one of the benefits of not being overly large and commercialized. Big, large commercialized businesses might be kind of staring too much at the bottom line, at the number of people coming in and out and how quickly. And we're not at all about that. We're very personal. Whenever people come in, we greet them all the time. We ask them if they need anything. A lot of the cast members go out of their way to kind of play with the children who want to be interacted with, and just kind of make everybody feel like this is your festival and, you know, we're here to please you, which is exactly what the dynamic is. But sometimes you don't get that when you get into these larger, more commercialized kind of events. And so we definitely have that very personal touch that we could give everybody.
Most definitely. And I have to say, even like with the jousting and the performances that you put on, and I probably attribute that to the fact that the people that are working these events are the very same ones that are involved with the LARPing and that have, you know, a real feel for it. So it's not something they're just doing to get paid. They have a real feel. And even the jousting, you have like ceremonies beforehand, things going on afterwards. So it's not just like, you know, it takes long to sit down at some of these. You sit down, you have this little jousting event, and then all of a sudden you're shuffled out of the place. So I have to say that, you know, the events are very interactive, and they're also very well thought out with more than just the actual event.
Yeah, we definitely try to add as much as we can every year, and we try to have an interactive kind of element as well. We're adding a new guild this year called the Adventurers Guild, and you basically would stop at the guild, and they would give you a card with these different quests on it, and the quests basically just encourage you to interact with somebody at the fair, maybe vendors, maybe other cast members, and it's just a way of feeling like you're kind of interacting with the festival world and not just, you know, walking by as a bystander. If you want that more interactive kind of feel, there's another fun thing that we added that I have high hopes for. It's called like rock stacking. I don't know if you've ever seen like people who walk on trails and they take the stones and they stack them on top of one another.
Oh yeah,
and kind of leave
it's like
them
a welcoming venture. Yeah.
So we created this nice, peaceful glade out in the woods, and we have all these different rocks in the very fun arrangement. And basically, there's these different stations, and you just walk in, and you just take the different rocks, and you start stacking them. It's a very peaceful, meditative kind of thing, almost like rock gardening. It's a very zen activity. And you just sit there for a few minutes and just kind of get in the zone and balance, you know, rocks on top of each other. And there's kind of a weird, you know, an unexpected feeling of accomplishment after you've gotten like five or six rocks high, because it is kind of amazing how you can like balance stones on top of one another. And so the idea is you just come in, spend a few minutes kind of just zoning out and having fun with that, maybe take a photo with it before you leave or something. And once again, it's just a free activity. We're trying to create things that you don't have to pay for. You just come in and do something different for a little while and then move on and see the rest of the fair.
That's great. That's wonderful. Folks can come in costume.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely some people come in costume, some people do not. We encourage everybody to do whatever is fun for them.
Exactly, as long as they're comfortable, definitely.
Yep.
And I must add, because these are important things for some of us, but you have quite a few restroom situations. So people do not have to fret. Like if you're going to you know, some of these events and they only have like a few porta-johns and you're suffering in a long line. And no, you have them all over the place as well. You have actual lodges that have actual real bathrooms, restrooms. So that's not a problem either, because some people do fret with that.
Oh, no, not at all. There's never any bathroom lines or anything like that. We have them spaced all over the place, and we also have flushing accommodations as well inside some buildings.
Definitely, definitely. So we can hope to see returning acts such as the beautiful singing, gorgeous singing, and medieval magicals, because they were just unbelievable. People were in awe listening to this music and the professionalism. And I'm pretty sure, well, your wife is involved with this, the queen.
Yeah.
She's singing.
Oh,
and who else is involved? Yeah. Oh, my God, what voices.
It's actually my wife's family who does the singing. Her her sister does the opera, and her niece does the kind of Celtic singing.
It's It's amazing. And everybody is just in awe. And they do this in costume, of course. But their voices are so high caliber. This isn't an amateur thing. I mean, they're amazing. People's jaws just dropped listening to them. This is unbelievable to have something like this.
Yeah, we fly them out from California.
Wow. And I'm sure they enjoy it as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. They look forward to it as well. Yep.
I hate to interrupt this conversation. It's been phenomenally fascinating, but we have 5 minutes left, and I'd love for you to share your contact and other information again.
Sure. All right. So the contact information, the website address is SpartaNJRenfair.com. A lot of the information can be found on the website. The store to purchase tickets can be found on the website. The address of the site is Camp Sacagawea. It is 844 White Lake Road in Sparta, New Jersey. And it's the September 11th, 12th, and 18th, 19th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You could buy the tickets at the door if you want, or you could buy them online. But it's only these two weekends upcoming throughout the whole year, so we definitely encourage everybody and anybody to come on out and enjoy the fair this year.
There you go. And I know, Hercules, you're posting the information on your site as well.
Yes, I posted the link to Night Realm, two different
things,
one to the Facebook and the other one to the website.
Oh, also, if any of your listeners are interested in getting married at a very magical location, we have a camp website, and that camp website is camp-sacagawea.com. And there's actually two different Sacagaweas in New Jersey. There's one south in Farmingdale, which we are not, but if you Google Sparta Camp Sacagawea, you'll probably find the correct address. And we have information for weddings on there if anybody wants to, you know, look into getting married at our site. And then, as you mentioned before, we also have the LARP that I run called Night Realms, and that is nightrealms.com.
Right, and then we have the Lunar Fair that's there, and I'm sure, James, the way things are going, you will have other events there. So if any of our listeners out there know someone that needs a very unique location, but that does, it's outdoors, 200 acres, but you have an immense amount of properties on there, actual building structures, so it's really doable for almost anything.
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, James, I have to say, you have outdone yourself.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you guys invited me back again.
Well, it's a pleasure because I know it's not going to be typical. And I was so impressed with Sparta Rent Fair when you did have it. I went, I think, 2 years. That it was important for me to have you on to have people understand what you do there and how much effort you put into it and how creative it is. So I'm really very honored that you were willing to be my guest today, because I'm just amazed at your creativity and your out-of-the-box thinking, because not everybody is that way. So when you do meet someone like that, you know, you have to honor them and say, gee, thanks for being different.
It's always really important whenever you have a situation in life that looks like it's going to, you know, it's going in a bad way, it's going negative, to really not let it bother you, to realize that no matter what happens, all is well, and that you're going to be able to, turn any situation around and make it in your favor. And as long as you have that kind of mindset, you know, you can really do it. Anybody can do that.
Most definitely. Got to be positive and see the good things and be willing to be a part of a community. That's the other thing.
Yep.
It's something that Hercules is so big on, you know, community events and doing for others. So you fit right in, James.
Thanks to both of you. This was an awesome episode. James, we have a monthly Mythic Gaming show as well as the special. You can put me on your email list. If you send anything, I'll promote it on the show.
Great. Awesome. Appreciate it.
There you go. A pleasure, James. Again, a pleasure again to have you as a guest. And Hercules, always a pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks to both of you. This was awesome. I wish you success in all your endeavors. And you're welcome back whenever you'd like, James.
Great. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful night.
You too.
As well.
Okay. Good night, all. Thanks for tuning in, whether you called in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you'd be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys and amazing. Take care. Bye-bye.
Farewell.